Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now the host of Late Night Whenever, please give it up for Michelle Buteau.
What's up, New York City? Make some motherfucking noise. Yes. Hey! Oh my God. Please meet my musical director, my best friend, I want to say.
Hell yeah.
Robert Lewis. Yes.
Cheers.
Yes. How you doing, Robert?
All is well.
You look good.
Yeah, you look great too.
I mean, I'm trying, y'all. I tried pants, but you ever get pants and then you stretch them out the day you wear them, and these can come off at any moment. But it's so comfy, cozy. I've had a great day though. Very productive. I was very adult today. I went to IKEA with my husband. We didn't get in a fight. Oh my God. I feel like the people there should also be like couples therapists. Ooh, with those tiny pencils. What you gonna do with all those tiny pencils? And 23 numbers. What you doing, IKEA, with all this MAM? I never feel like a hoarder until I go to IKEA. I'm like, I could use a pillow from a toilet. Like, I... So we left. The thing is, if you go to IKEA with somebody you live with, you just got to walk away. Because my husband was talking about like a sponge. He was like, should we get the red or the blue? And I was like, I'm going to go. This is a good time to go. Then when we left IKEA, oh, honey, this guy cut us off in a truck. So you know he's a dick. Because sorry if you drive a truck, you a dick. And... a truck or a bus, that's what it is. You know, it's like the license for trucks. Are you a dick? You could drive this truck. And so he cut us off. We were making a right. He came around, he cut us off. And I was like, oh, hell no. And so when we passed him, we both gave him the finger. Without even talking about it, we just did it. So my husband probably looked like, you know, cute and white. And because even when he's angry, I'm like, stop. That's adorable. But when I did it, I was like, I'm gonna fuck with this guy. And I just smiled real hard. And I was just like, yeah. Fucking figure, sit and spin, right? And you know how you can like see like the switch flip? And he went like ticky, ticky, boom, boom. And he was like, oh, both of them disrespected me? And then it turned into like a Maury Povich episode.
Wow.
Like, can't believe it's caught on camera type shit. He started swerving and coming to, like, next to us, like we were Jason Bourne. I was like, what the fuck this? The fuck this? I felt like Jennifer Lopez in Enough with a bad wig. I'm like, back up! Oh, you gotta back up! He was, and then we were at a red light and he was on the opposite side of the street, on the wrong side, Robert. Ooh, my ass is clenched just talking about it. My pants are gonna fall off! Ooh, my pants are gonna fall off. And he was looking at us, and I was like, I was just like stroking my husband's arm. I'm like, don't look, baby. I was like, should I turn up Prince? Like, I didn't know what was gonna help. So anyway, this guy put the window down. He's just like, you can't put the window down, can you, sucker? Can you, sucker? And he wasn't James Earl Jones. But it was crazy. I was like, baby, don't put that window down. Don't put the window down. And then he did something interesting. My husband, he locked the doors. And I was like, Jesus, take the wheel and don't stop driving, Jesus. Jesus, make a left, honey. Make a left, Jesus. Also, Jesus doesn't know how to drive. Where'd that saying come from? I'm not even high. This is so great being sober. This is... You know I don't get high. I don't know how to be high.
I do.
When did you realize you're good at being high, like productive?
Oh, it comes with that creative thing, though. You know, it comes with the thing that, That's the excuse, right? That's the excuse. We're all creatives, and yeah. It's real though. It's like, you know, it kind of compartmentalizes the thoughts and slows
things
down.
Dude, if you
down.
Could be high and say the word compartmentalize, maybe if I got high, I'd be able to say that shit too. Compartmentalize.
Yeah. There we go. That's good.
That's so cool. You ever got road rage? I don't see you having road rage.
Nah, but I watch a lot of videos of it. I do. Like,
yeah.
No, like there, you can't underestimate other people's crazy.
You can't. So anybody ever got mad at you though?
I mean, yeah, you get at a corner and you could be in the hood and something like that happened. But I mean,
the hood's the ghetto. Right, or just your neighborhood?
Not just any hood. I mean,
right.
Just any hood.
Right, I'm sorry,
anything,
hood. I'm trying to translate like, for the cute white people,
you know,
bro.
Yeah, we're gonna
they watch Viceland, they know stuff.
Yeah, exactly, right. Nah, but I mean, it's real out here in the streets. It is.
It is, you know, very like, real in the streets.
People feel offended when...
That sounded like somebody's mom. It's true.
People,
it is very real on the fucking streets, man. I'll tell you what, it doesn't get realer than the streets. Exciting time though. I'm having a meatball party this Saturday. None of y'all motherfuckers are invited. But and they're like, "What's a meatball party?" I'll tell you, it is a party where some of your friends bring their meatball recipe, right? They make meatballs, and we call it swap meat, and we have meatballs. And if you, yes, bitch, swap meat, get it. If you don't bring meatballs, you bring rosé, and we get fucked up.
Mm.
No bread allowed, honey.
You're a great host, though.
I am a great host, you're right.
We have a ball.
We do have a ball. You should say that. I don't think people actually got that. You can say that again.
No, you're a great host.
Thank you. Yeah. Did y'all hear that in the back? I just want to be sure
and
we got it.
You can cook your ass off. You can cook.
Yeah, I mean, who is a size 18 and not cooking? That's fucked up. Who doing that? Who's stretching out khakis and not cooking gravy? Who the fuck not making your own roux? Nobody knows what a roux is. Perfect. Make some noise if you know what a roux is. Oh, okay. You guys got it. I'm going to put IKEA furniture together tonight. What are you doing?
Oh, man. I got to go and leave to go play 3 songs with Toni Braxton right quick.
Did you see how he fucking said that? Like, he had to put together IKEA furniture? That's great.
Yeah, it's cool. It's
your
cool. She's in town. She's doing a private party. And
ooh, that private party money.
That private
Does
party
Does a private
money.
Party mean group sex? I watch Lifetime.
Monsieur.
What? Is that a no? You didn't say no.
I said, Michelle, no, of course not. It's a group party.
But
it's
for a
good,
minute,
so...
you were thinking it meant group sex too, right, guys? Cool. Well, that's awesome. I'm so glad Toni gets to hang out with you and your musical genius.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up. I'd rather be here, Michelle. Absolutely. Always.
Don't offer that shit. He's hanging out with Toni Braxton. And she's probably wearing pants that fit. Yes. Let's get more show going, everybody. Yes. Ow. Yes. That is like a ghetto Zumba class. I want to welcome my first guest. He's an actor, a writer, a comedian. We also host a monthly show together called #Adulting. Please give it up for Jordan Carlos! Do you want some Prosecco?
I would love some Prosecco.
Perfect.
That's great.
Oof.
Some Italian champagne
no.
for me.
Oh, no.
That's wow. Your cup runneth over. That's
it
good.
Do. That's good. You're such a dad.
Yeah, I am a dad.
Give it up for him. Give it up for Jordan. He's responsible.
Thank you.
For like life.
Cheers and beers.
Cheers.
To being a dad.
Yeah.
To being a dad.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, it's cool.
I think I'm a fun dad. I don't think I'm a sad dad. There's a lot of sad dads out there.
What's a sad dad like?
Oh, sad dads. Sad dads are like when you're on the playground and like I just went to Brazil and shot an episode.
Does anyone have a broom to pick up that country name he just dropped?
Yeah, Well, it's getting to a point. There's a point. There's a point. It's to tell you that I'm in the new season of Black Mirror. But, yeah.
Hell yeah.
That is dope.
Where's the Jamaican air horn on that? Okay.
Jamaica noise. Hula. Yeah.
Spriggy diggy diggy. What if I just kept going?
Yeah. But I was just...
I'm on a romantic... I'm just kidding. Tell me about the Black Mirror episode.
I'm sorry I mentioned it. But I was like, we're at the swings, and ended up swinging my kid. And he's like, I heard you were going out of town. I was like, yeah, I got to go to Brazil shooting this episode of Black Mirror. And he's like, oh man, I'd love to go.
Things this like is that. The sad dad, not your kid.
No, this is a sad dad.
Okay.
My kid said the same thing. 16 months old and was like, man, I'd love to go see Brazil. Just once. You know. So yeah, that's what sad dads do. Sad dads, they grieve about the past. Like when they were like, you know, they didn't have kids or whatever. And because usually sad dads, like their wife is out working, mm-hmm. and they need to have that house like clean and have dinner ready.
Oh.
And they're like, you know, they're like sad about it.
What a change in events. This is like Handmaid's Tale, the before. No, you know what? I have to say, I know a lot of friends who have kids, but your kids and Rob's kids are my favorite kids.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no. You know I love to tell the story about your daughter.
Tell the story about my daughter.
So, unfortunately, Jordan lives in Bay Ridge, but we're still friends. through internet and pigeons and three-eyed ravens. And if you don't know what Bay Ridge is, it's the town right before Staten Island.
It's the town?
It's the town where you go and get lost. And so the one time a year he invites us over, we went and it was great. And his daughter, who's adorable, was she 4 or 5?
She was 4 and a half at the time.
4 and a half at the time.
Yeah.
So she's mixed, obviously, because Jordan lives in Brooklyn. His wife is white. And
what is...
Oh, you never read the lease? You're supposed to be in an interracial relationship if you live in Brooklyn.
No, that's it's how not it goes. A law. It's like, you know, strongly suggested that.
Yes. So I'm at Jordan's house, and Jordan's daughter goes, excuse me, can I just interrupt for a second? And I was already like, yes, you can, honey. Because you asked. And
manners.
She's way more polite than most of my friends. Who just interrupt with food coming out of their mouth. And she goes, I just want to say that I have curly hair and Michelle has curly hair, and that's a beautiful thing. I know. Yeah, you can clap for that. And then my ovaries were clapping just like your hands. And then I got my period, and then I started breastfeeding her, and she was 4.
She's great. She's really great. She's beautiful inside and out. She's
like
a complete person already. You just want to get out of the way. You know what I mean? Like, we pass by like a cemetery, Greenwood Cemetery, and
why do you say cemetery like it's a bad word?
I don't know.
Oh my God, you're so...
I was like, it was a cemetery, you guys. Like, don't tell anybody. So, so you see how I do with death. All right, so. So we're passing by, and she's like, what is that place? And I was like, oh, that's Greenwood Cemetery. It's a big cemetery where, and then she's like, oh, when you die, you go there. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I hope I'm there with you and mommy one day. And I was like,
oh, this is his daughter.
What?
I know. Wait till she's 17, but still.
So far, so good. So far, so good. She's a sweetie.
I mean, I feel like
let's get into it.
Talk about the pink elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You're a nerd.
Okay. I don't think any more nerdy than anyone else in this room, but yeah.
Well, no.
We're at WNYC, okay? Is this not a safe space? Like, can I live? Like, thank you for the reminder that I'm a nerd.
I'm just saying, like, were you... What happens when you're a nerd and you're little and you're from Texas? I mean, are you forced to, you know, grow up quicker?
Well, I had bad eyesight. That doesn't mean that I was...
Oh, yeah, it's really confusing.
I was like all I played football. I was
football.
I was a shutdown corner. Like
with glasses?
I know people think I weigh like 150 pounds. I weigh actually like 180.
We don't need to know your
pounds. That's like I'm not a small.
If you take your dick out, I'm leaving.
No, I'm not.
Nobody cares how much. You don't see a woman being like, used to be 150, now 180. It's like, no.
I need more Prosecco. But yeah, it was, yeah, I used to play football and stuff like that, sports. Okay. But it was if you weren't all state, then you were a nerd. That was like if you didn't make it to like the all state Friday night lights level,
okay,
then you were a nerd and a loser and nobody wanted to like hang out with you. And that's
so were
what,
you a yeah. jock?
No, I was like
jock adjacent.
I was jock adjacent. I was jock adjacent.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I was great practice squad, but like I didn't like the big show. I didn't like that.
Oh,
Friday
practice squad is when you just practice.
Yeah, when you just practice. See, I'm already saying terms that are going all over your nerds' heads. You know what I'm saying? They're like, what balls? What's going on?
Yeah. I feel like I'm being rude to you.
You're not. This is our die die. This is our dynamic.
Yeah,
yeah. You tell me I'm a total dad.
Yeah.
You say that I look like I shopped at Mervyn's or something like that. You know that.
I can't
that's
even talk
happens.
Shit about you. My pants are about to fall off.
No. You look great. You have red pants. I have red pants.
I will
you know?
Say this. I love doing the show with you, adulting. It's really
yeah,
fun.
It's
and
fun.
It's so nice to do something so fun and pure with people you love, like Robert, like you. Aww. You guys are really good guys.
Thank you. I will take that. I will really take that. You
should. I thought they would applause, but it's fine.
No, no.
No, don't do
no,
it
this
now.
Is New York.
Don't do it
this
now.
This is New York. yeah.
Having kids, man, you're like the most adult person I know. You have to take care of two little lives.
Thank you. And this, you never, thank you for giving me some kind of like recognition for that.
See, what happens is, so he'll like go on a trip with his family and like pay for everybody. I'm like, you're supposed to. And then he's like, he's like, I paid. I'm like, you're supposed to. And then he's like, and I let my wife watch TV. I watch the kids. I'm like, you're the dad.
Okay. First of all, it's turning into a town hall in here and I can feel the tension, but I just want to say this. Okay, yesterday I was killing it. Like,
oh boy.
Dad stats were on point. Listen, here's what happened.
Yes.
My son Malcolm was sick, right? So he couldn't go to the daycare center. So I kept him. He's only 16 months old, right?
Mm-hmm.
I kept him. I watched him. I love him to pieces, right?
Yeah.
I forfeit. I had to give up an audition, rescheduled it, right? Now my wife comes home at 6:30 p.m. Knowing this, I know that she likes dinner on the table and prepared, and my kids don't like what she likes to eat.
Oof.
Had to make two dinners, had to get my daughter to ballet, had to thaw that fish at the appropriate time, okay? Thank you very much. Got her in her ballet outfit, got her looking Alvin Ailey as a muffa. You know what I'm saying? Thank you. Picked her up on time. I was actually 5 minutes early on both occasions. So the white people parents were just like, okay, nice. You know?
So you're not only just a dad, you're like killing it at the dad game.
I love the 3D chess of being a parent. I love it. I love the negotiations that you actually have to go through.
Absolutely.
But that's a long day.
It's fun being a dad. It's fun when you get it right.
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 When your time management is perfect, like what he's talking about, 5 minutes early is gold.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So wait, are you guys really great at being dads, or are you just really competitive?
Shut up. Maybe that's a part of it. Maybe that's part of being a dad, though, is being a little competitive. And it's like competing against yourself, like doing better than you did before.
Which I feel like when people always ask about comedy or acting, whatever, I'm like, you're only in competition with yourself.
Yes.
I really do believe that. Now, both you guys have sons.
You didn't ask me about my salmon that I made.
Do you want to talk about your salmon?
Could you please?
How is your salmon, Jordan?
Got out the stob pan, right? Bam. Lemon. Wait, lime, and then hit it with the pepper, then hit it with the Himalayan salt, okay? The pink salt, put it in the oven for 35 minutes. The wife was like, this is amazing. Do you know how much of it I got to eat? Zilch, because I had a show to do. But I was like, babe, I love you, okay?
You sound like every woman's fucking story for the last 3,000 years.
This week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, the furor on college campuses over the war in Gaza.
Students have tried to have dialogue over and negotiate differences in how they see the world, even as they respond to tragedies and crimes overseas.
Students and faculty from Harvard University on the New Yorker Radio Hour from WNYC Studios. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Jordan, I'm so excited for my next guest.
Yep.
He's incredible.
It's incroyable.
He's a producer, director, writer. Oh, man, he's a one-man motherfucking band. He had so many movies and shows, I can't even start. Freaks and Geeks, Bridesmaids, and so much more. Ed Mas. Please help me welcome Paul motherfucking Finn.
Yeah. So happy to see you.
You smell wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Look at, I drove Rob away. I literally sent him screaming from the place.
Nah, it's those paychecks and them brown titties, Paul.
That's my autobiography, actually. It's coming out next week. So check that out.
So you just came back from Italy.
Yes, I did.
Oh my God. Why were you there? How was it? Tell me everything.
I took a mini vacation. My wife booked us 4 days in Italy. So just enough time to get over jet lag when you get back on the plane.
That is so baller.
Yeah. It was, but it was fun. It was really, it's the island of Capri, or Capri, as they call it.
Oh, I just have like a Capri sun at the park.
Yeah. I went looking for the factory. I couldn't find it. They don't. It's very strange. But it was fun. I love Italy.
Do you do all the antipasta or antipasta? What is it?
Yeah. I'm very pro pasta, so I try not to dabble in that.
But do you do like the 7 courses with the limoncella at the end and the
That's how you know if they like you at the restaurant in Italy, because then they'll give you a free limoncello at the end, and if they don't, then you get nothing. So.
Oh my God, I would never get limoncello. I don't know. I do love Italy, though. It's just so romantic. It also feels like you're just in a museum half the time.
Yeah.
It's old as fuck.
It is. It's slightly crumbly, but in a beautiful way.
Yes.
But that's, I think, why they like fashion so much, because it's always beautiful fashion in front of like crumbling things, and it kind of.
Oh my God! I gotta start doing fashion shows in Best-Buy.
Come on.
This is a thing, you content creator. You
make this happen, Michelle.
You
come on.
Content creator. Speaking of content creator, Freaks and Geeks. I mean, come on.
Thank you.
I have a ghetto version of that called Twerks and Tweaks. So I always wanted to tell you that.
It's good to know.
And now it's my
good
chance.
To know. Thank you.
So it was such a cult classic. I feel like you always have your finger on the pulse of what's happening. What are the ingredients that make a cult classic?
Oh gosh. When you're making it, you don't know if it's going to have that status. You always hope it'll kind of live beyond
right.
that. But you know what? Honestly, it's just telling stories about people. You know, that's really what kind of goes on and on. Is the culture around it and all the, you know, window dressing of the fashion and the music and all that stuff. That all falls away if you just want to tell stories about human interaction.
What were you like in high school or grade school?
We would have been friends.
Yeah?
Yes, Jordan. Yes. Cool.
So you were an athlete.
We were both cool. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
We were cool athletes.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Who didn't get invited to parties. But yeah, go ahead.
I know.
Yes.
Trust me.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a big nerd. Yeah. No,
you were a nerd?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? You were before your time. How about that?
Ooh,
thank you. Right. Wow. Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, nice. No problem.
You've done it again.
Let's put that on a magnet and give it to him.
You know, you know, Jordan and I worked together.
We did.
I directed Jordan about 10 years ago on an episode of Nurse Jackie.
That's right.
That is amazing.
I know. Reunited. We're reunited.
Finally, at last.
Yes.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
what was he like to work with?
A nightmare. Absolutely. Yeah. Demands. He was wonderful. He had gotten hit by a bike.
Yes.
I remember you were in the ER, obviously. It was Nurse Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in...
Weird that happened.
It's like you went to a bar. It was Cheers. We went to a bar.
I just remember you being like so kind and so like, and so gracious. And I thought directors were like just tyrants, but you were super cool.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was so easy peasy. It was a walk in the park. And,
well, thanks, Jordan.
And can you put me in something else?
Yeah.
Jordan, not the time.
I know. Now that you're in Black Mirror, I don't know if I can afford you.
Well, Well,
Mr.
Yes.
Fancy Pants.
Yes.
Can you tell the difference? Like, what is the big difference, actually, rather, directing a comedian and just a traditional actor?
Well, I mean, but Jordan's a really good actor, though.
Enough about Jordan.
What? Come on!
Well, when I direct you, Michelle. No, I mean,
just kidding.
But I mean, a good comedian is a good actor, because when you're on stage, you know, you do it all the time. You're an amazing actor up on stage because you're telling stories. When I first saw you, it was at that event for Elle magazine.
Elle Woman in Comedy. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We did for Ghostbusters, and Michelle gets up on stage. I'm just like, oh my god, you were just so magical, and you just captivated the room. And I was just like, well, I have to work with her. So no, I'm just a huge fan of yours.
Thank
really.
You.
So thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
Your show.
I was like, Paul, I already made a sex tape, but let's. Just kidding.
An audition is an audition.
Sigbird.
Come on,
Sigbird.
Come on.
Oh my god.
So yeah, this was like, I want to say like 2 or 3 years ago for Ghostbusters. Do people like, why are reboots, especially all female reboots, such a trigger for people? People were like up in arms.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of the many intellectuals in the audience, please, somebody write a book about 2016. Because 2016, I will dub as the worst year for women in record. Because, I mean, at least in the last few decades. Because
it's
never been worse. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. oh, my. Jesus, I'm telling you. But, you know, that was the year that we got destroyed by the haters or whatever
trolls.
They are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was Hillary who was getting killed by them, too.
Oh, wow.
And Trump was coming up. And honestly, all the vitriol was coming at us. I would always, on Twitter and all that, you always go back. I'm obsessed with, like, going, who came at me? I'd look at their page. And it's always like MAGA, one of these. And it was all the same people. All were just, they had, you know, put up with, you know, God forbid, 8 years of Obama. And the fact that a woman's coming in. Everyone lost their minds. Ooh. They completely lost their minds. And, you know, to get that upset about a movie about people hunting ghosts. I mean, like, literally, I had death threats coming in.
That is
in.
So insane. What? Same with Leslie. Yeah.
Oh, my, oh, well, yeah.
Leslie Jones, who's
right.
such a lovely human being. I don't know if you follow her on Twitter. She could not be more excited for everybody's show.
Yeah.
Like, she's everyone's champion. I could not believe people were going in.
It was just awful. And I was, like, I was writing to the people who were attacking her and, like, trying to get them to stop. And then they'd write back and, like, oh, so you don't have a sense of humor. It's like, this is not a fucking sense of humor. You are, like, literally destroying somebody right now.
This is why I love you. I am getting the goosies because a lot of people will say they're about something and just like write a check, but you truly are about something. Like, you are hiring the people, the hiring the women, you're giving them work, you're giving them a voice, you're giving them a platform, and you're even like clapping back at their trolls. That is fucking so amazing.
Thank you. You know what, Michelle, I hate more than life is bullies. I despise bullies.
Yeah.
And it just, because, you know, were we tortured by bullies, Jordan? I keep looking at Jordan when it comes to
it. No, it's totally fine. I was a bully adjacent. I ran in a bully crew, but I had like a funny laugh, and I would tell you like what was happening to you as the bully would do things to you. Like, that was my job. I was like, ha-ha, we fucked you up. Like, that was my...
You were the hype man.
I was
going to
say,
bully?
Like, the bully's hype man.
I was trying to
you
survive.
You were the flavor flavor
it was
bully?
Me or him. Like, what do you
no,
want from
if
me?
The apocalypse comes,
God.
You're out.
Okay.
You're out.
I'm not proud of it, but maybe we made them stronger.
Dude,
that's so Karl Rove.
Yeah,
oh, my God. Exactly right.
No, I will say, I'm from Jersey, and... All right, you don't win anything, but thank you. But I went to a lot of Catholic school, and then I went to 3 different high schools, and I got bullied a lot. And you would think that only boys are violent, but in Jersey, people fight. So it's like, thank you. She's co-signing, you get it. And so you have to learn how to fight, even if you're not a fighter. And so that's why when that guy was like baiting me in the car today, I was so glad to be like, nah, dude, I'm 40. This is you. You're not going to age me. Because, you know, it's so hard to, like, I don't know, kind of get away from it. But anyways.
I like your crowd. They, like, vocalize, like, Black Church. It's really, it's amazing. Yeah. Like, tell them. Mm-hmm. Agreed.
What I love about you, too, there's many things. But what I also love about you is that you've continued to work with women. Powder Keg.
Yeah. It's a production company that has inclusion writers.
Yeah, well, my whole company has. All my companies have inclusion writers. No, yeah, I mean, well, Powder Keg is something we said. It's a digital company we started that, mm-hmm. that express purpose is to do new projects with women, LGBTQ, people of color, and it just all voices that aren't getting to step up. So... Because I'm tired of hearing the same voices. I'm tired of hearing the same stories. And, you know, like, yeah. we've gotten enough. Like, I know how all the problems white men have had in the world. It's like I think every single story's been told.
What am I going to name my boat?
That's actually our new show on Powder Keg, so I want to check it out.
Yeah, it's the follow-up from Fresh Off the Boat. That was so good. Fuck you guys. How did you become an advocate for women? Were you sticking up for women in high school? Your mom just like, be woke, Paul. Yeah. Like,
be woke. Like, yeah, exactly.
Stay woke. And then you like went to school in Michigan. I don't know.
No, I was an only child. I lived next door to a family of 8 kids, and 6 of them were girls, and so they were kind of all my best friends. And then I was always just more comfortable around women and girls because all my bullies were guys and they were always, and then other guys were just, it was this weird thing about like punching. Like for some reason, it's so fun to punch each other in the arm. I'm like, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here, man. I'm going over with them. And so I just always was more comfortable that way. And then as I started, you know, in watching movies and TV, you know, I grew up with my mom. We used to watch old movies from the 30s and 40s, and women and men were kind of equal in those movies. You know,
they
when you think
were.
About yeah, you think
Angela
about
Angela Lansbury was a boss ass bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
She was like the white Beyonce of like the 30s or
totally.
The 40s. I'm bad at math, but
like
yeah.
His Girl Friday, Rosalind Russell,
yes,
and, you know,
honey.
So like these cool women.
Comedies, yeah. the women would give as good as they got, right?
Like, well, totally. Yes, they were equal. Yeah. They were played as equals.
Yeah.
What do you think is missing right now? I mean, I know you're talking about telling different stories, but what do you think? I feel like audiences are probably different because of the internet and because everyone like has so many things to watch and do and read and stuff, and it's just only in headlines. But what do you think is like missing in movies right now?
Because diversity. I mean, it's true. It is true, though.
Yeah.
And just stories that we haven't heard before. Like it's you know it's slowly getting better. I mean, you look at Black Panther and these movies just going through the roof.
Yeah,
that's the only way you're going to change Hollywood is if something makes money because it is a business. It's show business.
Stronger together.
Yeah.
So when I first met you, you told me you used to do stand up.
Yes.
How long did you stand up for?
I did it from 85 to 90, but I made
my God,
living
I wasn't even
doing...
born yet.
I know.
No, I do love working with a director or anyone that does stand-up or has done stand-up because I feel like you get us and you understand our voice and you let us play because oftentimes it's always like circle and square situation.
Well, when I was an actor for a long time and I'd get with certain directors and you'd kind of try something that they didn't know about and they'd be like, hey, what are you doing? That's terrible. And you're like, and then you completely shut down. And there's nothing I love more than to create an environment where everybody can try anything. Because I've been on set so many times with, you know, the most brilliant, funny people. And they'll try something. And in my head, I go like, oh, my God, that's the worst, dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why right. do they do that? But I'll go, oh, cool. We got that. Let's go on. And then I'll get back to the editing room. And the thing I thought was the worst, dumbest thing is actually the funniest thing. We put it in the movie and it's great. So I learned, like, don't cut off any creativity whatsoever. Let it all happen and then sort it out later.
Oh, my God. That's so smart.
Wow, that's so smart.
Do you remember any of your old bits?
Oh God! Well, I was known for 2 bits. One was I did the Thurston Howell blues, which I used to do like good a Thurston Howell III impression. For anybody who's old enough to remember Gilligan's Island,
right
so I did a blues
here.
Song
right here.
There he is.
Yeah.
I want to hear it.
No, that you heard it. I don't even remember it now.
Yeah.
Then I also did a thing called Willard Schmidt, who was a school woodshop teacher, and he did stand up, but he was completely humorless. And all he would tell a bad joke, and then he would tell a story about telling a kid not to screw around, and he did, and then he got his arm cut off. So it was very dumb, but it was my big closer.
So dark,
yes, it was my big closer. If you go back to there's a tape from the 80s called Paramount Comedy Theater that I think still exists somewhere online, and you can see me doing
roll
my
the
act.
Tape!
Yes.
Now it's time to talk to some audience members who have some questions, but they're just asking for a friend. But we all know what that really means. Now if you got a crazy question, that's embarrassing. So just ask for a friend. Yes! Oh, I do love me a hair flip.
I love it.
Okay, where's... Oh, shit, this is an exotic name.
Do you want me to read it?
No, would you stop? I get it.
That's
you
like speak my like, thing on Lyft
you have,
and
you
Uber.
You can conjugate
like,
three verbs in French
right.
And all of a sudden...
It's hilarious.
Look, Rosetta Stone, I could do this. Where is Semenya C? How do you say it?
Jimena.
Jimena.
Yeah.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Likewise. What's up?
What's your question?
My question was, how do you go about, like... publicly forsaking your friends, like IRL.
Publicly forsaking them? That's forsaking such a strong biblical word.
And you're asking for a friend?
Yeah, my friend like hates her friends, and she's like, I'm over them.
Oh shit, I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, I merely just stand up and say, I forsake thee. And then I smite them. Exactly.
That is one way.
That's a good way to do it.
No, Jordan and I talk about friendship breakups all the time because yeah. I just know so many dusty bitches that I don't need in my life. And it's so hard. And what was the reference? What was the example, Jordan?
It's like trying to throw out a garbage can. Yeah, it's get rid of a friend. Yeah.
You can't. That's is the
can't.
Point.
It's impossible. No
but
one knows
know
the
what?
Day. What's the day?
Yeah, I say it's very hard to break up with friends, especially if you have friends in common. But what I like to do is just be real busy for like a month. Watch all the things. See who keeps in touch with you.
Yeah. Life's too short, Dan.
Yeah, you
friends.
Just need to be an adult about it.
Okay.
You need to put on those big girl khakis and make some decisions. Muchas gracias, Jimena. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, titties. Yes, thank you. Santos A. Ooh, what a diverse crowd. Hi, Santos. Santos.
Hello. My question is it's not my question, it's a friend's question. How
we got
y'all...
it, we heard the
this
song.
Is like answering with a question on Jeopardy.
How would y'all go about interacting with people if you're shy at a sex party?
At a sex party? You made it all the way there, but you're like, yeah, I can't.
It's kind of like being the new kid at school where you have to read what everyone else is doing, like read the room and then act accordingly. Be a little nerd and be like, oh my God, I never come to these things.
I was going to tack onto your advice for the previous person and say you should just love yourself, but that has a different meaning at a sex bar.
That's for sure.
True.
Come on, huh? No. Come on. That's a good joke. That's a good joke.
Guys, that has been our show. I don't even know where.
That's
a what a way to end.
Yes.
One second. What have I learned? I learned so many things, y'all. Oh, I'm not going to sing. That's not my thing. I just like to share. I learned a lot of things about myself and other people. I learned that as I get older, I don't have to react to everybody all the time. I also learned that I'm really going to keep the receipt to pants. I learned that it's really great to work with your friends because they become your family, your second family. And I also learned that no matter how much power you have, you could always use it for good. In the meantime, in between time, I'm Michelle Buteau. This is Late Night Whenever. And you guys are fucking amazing!
Woo!
Yeah! Woo!
Late Night Whenever is brought to you by WNYC Studios. This podcast is produced by Joanna Solitaroff, Paula Schumann, Jennifer Sendro, Daniel Guimet, Adam Teicholz, Jamie York, and Marianne Schauberg, with Isaac Jones, Chase Colpin, Sarah Sambach, Caroline English, and Melissa Chusid. Music by Rob Lewis. Ad music by Isaac Jones.
Follow us on Twitter at Whenever. It's a bot-free zone. I promise. But not a butt-free zone. Ow. I guess.
And don't forget to subscribe to Late Night Whenever, wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, stop, stop. Get out of here, get out of here. Get out of here. Hi, I'm Paul Feig. Paul Feig, nice to meet you. You may know me from my days in Vegas when I used to open for Wayne Newton, but he fired me because he decided he didn't like Feig Newton on the marquee. Thank you, that's the bad joke. Okay.